Welcome to episode 166 of the Highly Relevant Podcast, a show about how Latinx pop culture is reshaping mainstream entertainment. I'm your host, Jack Rico, and now that National Hispanic Heritage Month is over, it is not over for me. For this podcast, every day is National Hispanic Heritage Month, which is why I'm rebroadcasting my interview with director Robert Rodriguez, one of my favorite interviews of the last 5 years. My favorite moment is actually the part where I ask him, and you'll listen to this once you hear the interview, if it is the responsibility of Latino directors to create Latino movie stars. And the reason I asked him this is because of image representation. I mean, the numbers are atrocious for how many people we are in the United States that are not represented in these movies about America, and we're really not a part of it. So why don't we have Latino movie stars? And is it their responsibility to create them, develop them, give them a shot to do that? And it's very interesting. Actually, I was quite surprised with his answer, which he said with so much conviction. You'll hear it for yourself in just a few minutes. But before I talk to Robert Rodriguez, it's time I give you my weekly recap of the top Latinx pop culture headlines in a segment I like to call Jacked In. Let's begin with the top movie TV music news of the week. Two George Lopez shows have been picked up. The drama Once Upon a Time in Mazatlan at Amazon Studios and the family comedy Lopez vs. Lopez at NBC. Adri Arjona to star in the indie film Los Frikis and will also executive produce. Jenna Ortega and Melissa Barrera feature as the leads in the new Scream reboot trailer. Wonder Woman 3 is officially being developed at Warner Brothers. Gina Rodriguez to voice Barbara Gordon in Spotify's DC podcast series Batman Unburied. The CW is developing Hermanas, a sister's drama from Crystal Ferreiro, Ilana Peña, and Jerry Bruckheimer. Eugenio Derbez and Eva Longoria lead a cast of Aristotle and Dante film adaptation. The third and final season of Narcos Mexico is premiering on November 5th, and America Ferrera, Tania Saracho, and Gloria Calderon Kellett team up for Dear Hollywood, a new initiative which aims to bring greater representation of Latine voices in Hollywood. And in tech and social media news, Facebook is changing its name with an announcement coming soon. Snapchat's stock has crashed due to Apple's new privacy rules. FIFA is ending its exclusive partnership with EA Sports. Clubhouse has a new music mode that will improve the experience of playing and listening to live music in the platform. Twitch is testing a new rewind feature. Twitter is acquiring the chat app Sphere. PayPal is close to buying Pinterest. And Instagram will now let everyone post pictures from their desktop.
You told me the story of the war, when the ground shook and the sky burned. Of the ones that survived, who awoke to a different world.
Robert Rodriguez, welcome to the Highly Relevant Podcast.
Hey.
What does this movie mean to you personally? I know there's a lot going into this.
The movie, to me personally, was a chance to finally work with Jim Cameron. He and I have known each other over 25 years, and we tried to make, we almost made something together in 97. And in 2003, but you know, I did Sin City instead. And this was like third time's the charm. It seemed like the perfect project. And it was the only, and better than those other projects in that it already had a script. He had already written a script for himself to direct. So that's, you know, that reminded me of like Dust Till Dawn. You know, that was a script Quentin had written that he wasn't going to direct. And it was rare to get a Quentin script at all. Anything he wrote from that point on, he was just going to direct himself. These guys don't put that kind of work into something that, just to hand it to another filmmaker. They'd almost rather not see it get made than get made incorrectly, because they live with a version that's in their head, because it's so clear in their head when you write it, when they write it, especially. And Jim had 600 pages of notes and, you know, 3-hour draft. I mean, he saw it so clearly. So the chance to work on that with him and him trust me to do it. And we just had a blast making it together. And just seeing it, you know, resonate with audiences, that's just the best feeling, you know, to know that they love the movie. And it's only because I just asked him, hey, what happens to movies like Battle Angel? And he happened to hand it over. If that hadn't happened, you know, people wouldn't have this movie.
Absolutely insane. You've built a reputation in being an efficient filmmaker with budgets. Alita's budget, from what I've heard, and maybe you can confirm that, it was $170 million. And I believe it's the most in your career. Is this a dream for you, or did it create chaos with your approach to filmmaking?
I think usually why I stayed away from big studio films is because I had so much creative freedom on my lower budget movies. I always preferred taking a lower budget and making it look bigger, being able to cast who I want. I could cast Latin actors. I could end it where I want. I could do anything I want. I love that freedom. And I knew on a bigger budget movie, they'd be all over me to make it a certain way, which is understandable. They want their money. They want their money back. So I was like, I don't need the big budgets. I'll just go make my own franchises, lower budget. I love the freedom. But working with Jim is like making an independent film because he has final say.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, oh, as long as Jim and I are happy, then it goes in. And even he said he was shocked how fast they shot. I shot this movie in 57 days.
That's incredible, that's like Robert. Really seriously, man. 57 days?
So even though I had 170 million, it wasn't like I was making it look like 170. Even Jim said he would have spent twice that.
Wow.
To make the same movie. So, you know, we're cutting edge technology. We're creating something that you've never seen before. It would have been a really hefty price tag if I hadn't done it. So I used my same cost cutting techniques to kind of take that budget and stretch it into Jim Cameron land, because there's no point in him making a movie with his name on it unless it's going to be breaking new ground. So I kind of helped keep the budget, you know, more contained by just being real efficient.
Were you ever intimidated by the scale of the film?
You know, he said that early on. He said, you know, everything you've done, everything in this movie you've done before, it's just, except other than performance capture, but I'll show you that in a week. And I went, he showed me how to do that. He said, everything else is just, you've done in some way or shape or form. So it's really a matter of scale and scope more than technique, you know,
right.
It's not like new techniques. And he was right. You know, once he showed me the performance capture, how to do it, and I adapted it for this. He even dug how I used it so much. He's using some of those techniques in Avatar. He's like, hey, that worked out.
Wow, cool.
Let's try that. So, you know, we've always done that. You know, all of this 25 years I've known him, I see what he's doing and I get ideas. He sees what I'm doing. He would get ideas, you know. So it's that's kind of why we like working together. That's why I like working with Quentin or Frank Miller. It gets you out of your own, just, you know, staying in your hole and getting to see what other people do. And you get firsthand, you know, seeing what they do, not just watching behind the scenes making of, actually being there and seeing how he crafts the screenplay or how he visualizes his movies. It's like staggering. You never could have figured it out on your own.
Right.
So it's a real leg up in methodology.
You've been a beacon for featuring Hispanic talent in Hollywood since the beginning of your career. Why has that been such an important part of what you do in filmmaking?
You know, it's just a matter of just legit, you know, just logical. When you write anything, you write in your own point of view, you know. So I would write based on who I was. So any script I wrote is probably going to have a Latin lead character. So when I went to go make Desperado, there just wasn't any Latin actors working in Hollywood, really, because no one was writing those parts. No one was directing those roles. So I realized if I was going to make movies, I needed to create my own Latin star system. So, you know, I brought Antonio from Europe. I discovered Salma Hayek. I brought Cheech out of retirement. I put Danny Trejo in every movie I made until he was a star. So it was really just a matter of survival. You know, it's like, I want to tell these stories that I have a personal connection with, you know, a story based on my family that has an edge to it and some fantasy element. Growing up in a family of 10 kids, except I'll just make them spies, do a movie like Spy Kids. I have to create my own stars.
Right.
So otherwise, how do you make that movie? So it was more, started out like that. And then I just saw that there was still a real need for it in Hollywood. So I created my own television network to give more filmmakers chances, because we needed more filmmakers actually that were, you know, diverse backgrounds, because they would write the role that would demand that they find the right actors for them. So it was a systemic problem. There just wasn't people creating these roles. It wasn't that the studio wasn't hiring the actor. What role were they going to hire him for? No one was writing these roles. No one was directing these roles and demanding that this person be cast. So that's what needs to change still. And that's what I've been trying to do,
you know,
all these years.
It's interesting that you say that, because, you know, one of the things that have been very critical with Alfonso Cuarón, Guillermo del Toro, and Alejandro Iñárritu is that they do make their Spanish films where every Hispanic fits. But as soon as they start creating American films, like Iñárritu in Birdman, or Del Toro in Hellboy, or Children of Men, or Gravity in El Cuarón, there's one thing missing compared and juxtaposed to Robert Rodriguez. There's no Hispanic talent. And so I ask you the question, is it the responsibility for a Hispanic director to create Latino stars?
I don't know if you say it's the responsibility. It's something that I definitely see as my, something that I can offer. And you got to understand, all three of those that you mentioned, they're not from here. So when they're in Mexico, you're right, they can make movies that are completely Mexican. When they're here, they can feel free to make movies that are American. Because I'm Mexican-American, I prefer to make my, you know, to try and help change the situation here for filmmakers here by giving more filmmakers that are here their voice so they can cast more, you know, the kind of, you know, actors and write the roles that reflect more their life here in the States as a minority in the States. You know, that's mm-hmm. it's a very different thing. Of course, when you're from another country, you don't feel that responsibility because that's not your point of view. I mean, you're making movies that are for the entire world. So they don't need to do that. I don't think you should force them to do that. I think what they do is fantastic. And I think how they do it is fantastic. But it's different when you come from the country here and when you don't come from the country here. So I love that they can disappear behind some of these big budget movies and you forget that they're the one behind it because they're not pushing an agenda. Unless you really feel that agenda, you shouldn't be pushing that agenda. I really believe that needs to be done. So that's why I do that. And I double and triple down on that. But it's not everyone's cross. It's not everyone's cross to bear. You know, I just know that I found it particularly difficult to make movies that reflected my identity here because of the way the system was. So I wanted to change the system.
Now that you're saying doubling down on that, casting Rosa Salazar, I mean, mm-hmm. and what a gem of an actress for this. I mean, it just seems like she was born to play Alita. Explain to me, with all the rhetoric that's been going on with politics, with identity politics, with the racial sensibilities of our nation right now, I thought it was very ballsy of you, dude, to take a James Cameron super big budget film and put a Latina lead in there that wasn't necessarily Michelle Rodriguez or Zoe Saldana or somebody that was a household name at this point. Tell me about going on that path. Was it deliberate on your end, or was she just happened to be the best person for the job to lead this movie in Rosa Salazar?
Yeah, no, I was so proud that she could be in the movie because it was just total coincidence that she was just happened to be Latin. We had it open to, we kept.
So it wasn't deliberate.
Really wide. Oh, no, not at all. I would never narrow it down so tight just for that. You want to hire the best person, and that she was the best person gives you even more pride because of when I found her.
Awesome.
I sent her to Jim and said, hey, I don't want to jump the gun, but this girl's amazing. And he said, well, I don't think we even need to look further. She's definitely the one. I mean, she was so head and shoulders above everyone else who came in. But we always knew we'd have to go kind of discover the person because you would look at, you know, known actresses out there. None of them we thought were like, you know, you couldn't just say, oh, I know who Alita is. It's that girl on that TV show. You know, we there was no one we could just spot openly. So we knew we'd have to go through the whole casting process of discovering somebody, and so it wasn't something that needed to have a star in it. Alita was going to be the star, not necessarily the actress playing needed to be the actress playing her. Mm-hmm. She just happened to be the best one for the role, so that gives you even more pride that, you know, you weren't rigging the game in some way. It was, she was actually just an incredible actress, and we put her through the whole rigmarole. I mean, even though I discovered her pretty early on, we still went through a whole casting process, did screen tests. She had to screen test up against other girls. All had to look at it. The studio had to look at it. Everyone just agreed she was the top choice.
Yeah, so she hands down just completely just surprised everybody and brought her A-game to the auditions. That's great.
Yeah. So if anything, I wouldn't want that to work against her where people will think, oh, well, of course, Robert Rodriguez, he probably was looking for a Latin actress. No, I was not. So she really, because of her actually acting skills, and I think everyone can see that, how amazing she is why she was chosen.
Well, Robert, thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking about this. Very excited about the movie. It's one of the most visually stunning films I've seen, period.
I appreciate that. Well, this kind of movie is really fun because you're pushing the technology so much. And I saw Jim do this on Avatar that even he didn't know how it was going to look at the end. Wow. You know, he didn't know how far they get the technology by the time 3 years later when it'd come out. And we went through that on this. By the end, we both looked at the finished movie and our jaws were dropped. We're like, this is stunning. We didn't know it would get that real. You know, we didn't know. They couldn't do this 3 years ago when we started. So it was a surprise to us too that it looked that amazing and a pleasant surprise. We felt more like an audience member than the film.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That's what it seemed. So, all right, man. Thank you so much, Robert. I appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, buddy.
I need you to destroy a girl called Alita.
You made the biggest mistake of your life.
Just before I wrap up here, here are three Latin tracks you might want to add to your playlist this weekend.
Una mujer tan dura como yo fue la que me enseñó todo este flow.
Mis Muchachas, Christina Aguilera featuring Nati Peluso, Becky G, y Nicki Nicole.
Si estoy flaca o con curva, como sea, a ti te gusta. Ten cuidado con esta mamacita.
Sexy girl, dime qué va a ser. Yo quiero saber lo que tú sabes hacer.
Sexy Girl, Ozuna, Megan Thee Stallion, y DJ Snake. Amor como puñal, Loyal Lobos. And that's it for episode 166 of the Highly Relevant Podcast. If you like this episode, please share with your friends and have them subscribe and leave a review. You'll be helping us reach many more people. If you would like to get in touch with me, reach out to me on Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube. I'm Jack Rico. See you next week on another episode of Highly Relevant.